I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind.
I have a healthy heart, body, soul, and mind.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
Communion is where I come to unite with those around me.
Communion is where I come to unite with those around me.
I'm grounded and present in the experience.
I am grounded and present in this experience.
I am here.
I am here.
I am whole.
And I am whole. Absolute favorite two lines. I am here and I am whole. That actually sounded really smooth. I feel like it could have been a thing. We might have to record that.
What's up,
Brian Treacle? Thanks for joining us. I see Gil out there joined us. I also see Riri out there joined us. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. So, let's get right into it. Last week, we were talking about... Mother's Day and mm-hmm. how we felt about our moms and legacy and how we knew that our moms loved us and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And as we were closing out the show, we started to talk about the fact that we recognized, all three of us actually, that none of what we knew about how our parents loved us, or our mothers particularly, didn't really dabble into the fathers. Obviously, it wasn't Father's Day. But what we did, we all recognized that none of us really said that our parents said they loved mm-hmm. us.
They didn't use the words.
They didn't use the words, I love you, to communicate mm-hmm. That they loved us. Mm-hmm. Not to necessarily say that that takes away from it, but let's just start there for a second. I want to ask you, understanding that that's the case, do you feel like the lack of saying it takes away from the experience around it?
No, I don't.
No? Okay.
I don't.
Tell me why.
Well, you mean like...
Like not actually hearing a person say I love you. You said that, I remember you were saying that, you know, your mom was there and
yeah.
she, you know, her acts of service and did, you know, was always there to do things with you and available and present. But not actually saying, mm-hmm. you know,
those
not,
words.
I think it's not just the saying, mm-hmm. I think it's more like the direct intentional affection of, you know, coming for a hug or that, you know, that interaction that says that I love you.
Yeah.
Not just a perceived I love you. Mm-hmm. I mean, the communication of I love you. Do you think that that, takes away from the experience at all?
I don't think so. I think the experiences were what they needed to be for the both of us based on how she was raised as well.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I think she was showing me that she loved me by the things she did, but she did say I love you like when I went away to college and stuff, when I wasn't around enough.
Right, yeah.
You know, so I felt like she said it when I needed to hear it, when I was away from her, when I had just, you know, went off to college freshman year. I'm nervous. I'm like crying. I don't want to go home. You know, I want to come home every weekend. Like, I remember it was our family reunion at TJ.
Right.
No, not TJ. At Walter Reed.
Walter Reed.
And I was like, that next couple of days, I was going to Virginia State.
What's up, man?
How you doing? And I was a wreck. Leaving my family, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. I'm going to be homesick.
Right.
But when they dropped me off, when she dropped me off and they got in the van to leave, I remember her saying, you know, I love you, you'll be fine, you know.
Right.
And I think that was when I needed to hear it the most, you know, as a young adult.
Right. Shout out to Patty for showing up when Ebony needed her. Yes. Ain't nothing like that. Yeah, but I just wonder because...
And she rubbed my back a lot, too, when I asked her. So I think that's one of my love languages, too. Like, as a little kid, I would be like, can you scratch my back, Mom? Uh-huh. And she would.
Like, do it, yeah.
Yes.
So, y'all had y'all things.
We did.
And I think that all parents and children probably do have those things. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I think love looks different for everybody, especially depending on how you were raised. And I think that the concept of action speaking louder than words is something that's been so ingrained in us that a lot of times it takes away from wanting to speak on it, maybe, because people want to show.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. But I think on the flip end, sometimes that takes away from actually planting the seeds of a spoken word, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. And what that what using those words cast out into a situation, into the hearts of people and yeah. stuff like that. Yeah. So I think that there has to be a balance. I just think that we get so caught in, even when we talked about it before, about they always say treat people the way you want to be treated mm-hmm. versus treat people the way they want to be treated. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we've been taught to do that so much mm-hmm. that we start to align what we do to other people mm-hmm. with what will make us feel full, happy, and whole, mm-hmm. And then end up resentful and having bitterness because yeah. we're giving people the love we want instead of the love that they want or they need, like mm-hmm. you said. And then it's like you feel like you've done all of this, and meanwhile they're sitting there looking at you like, but I didn't want that. And then mm-hmm. then you feel like the person's being ungrateful, or you right. feel like the person is, you know, speaking down to your efforts or whatever yeah. that is.
And I think that goes back to the love language.
Yeah, like, and that, and that's exactly what I was going to go back to. We kind of sure. hit on it a little bit, but didn't talk to it, you know, in full. So I was going to ask you, you said that you feel like you mixed up in all of them. If you actually went, you know, 1 to 5, what do you think that your love languages are, 1 to 5? What do you think the one is the most important to you?
So, quality time
is 1. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Physical touch is 2.
Okay, 2. Big on the touch.
Yeah.
Big on the touch.
I mean, yeah.
yeah. Y'all hear that? We big on the touch.
My God. Now we're my face riot. Is red.
So, but they can't okay. see. Well, they might see you over there, but they don't see you of us.
Gifts.
Gifts. Okay. So. Quality time, physical touch, gifts, okay.
Mm-hmm. Acts of service uh-huh. and like words of affirmation.
It's last.
Yeah.
So words really, is affirmation is last yeah. for you. So you don't really give a fuck what people say to you. No?
It's the action.
It's the actions it's the doing, and stuff like that.
It's the
yeah.
doing that matters to me.
Wow, man. And for me, it's like the complete opposite. Like somebody can do something for me. And I mean, I'm not cold, so I'm naturally going to feel a certain level of gratitude for having mm-hmm. had someone do something for me. Mm-hmm. But what they say to me, I know I remember. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I remember what I feel about what I hear a yeah. person say to me. Because I've been in scenarios where people are helping you and, you know, they're doing that kind of stuff mm-hmm. to you. Meanwhile, they're talking shit to you, though. And they reminding mm-hmm. you all the things that they're doing for you. So it's almost diminishing the act in a way because mm-hmm. the words and the actions don't align. So I guess in that way, the two things do kind of got to align. And I think we kind of spoke on that last week. So yours is, I'm going to go through it one more time. You said quality time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you said physical touch, because mm-hmm. I made a big deal out of that, guys. Physical touch. Then you said gifts, mm-hmm. acts of service, and then words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Man, so why is quality time such a big deal? We're going to run through yours, then we'll run through mine.
Yeah, so quality time for me is where you get to know the person.
Okay.
Is where you get to do the talking
yeah.
and do the communicating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right.
And I
like it.
You know, I think that's where that starts,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then, like, it's like a progression in the relationship to me.
Okay. Makes sense.
You know, you start with the quality time and then, you know, physical touch, like holding hands.
Like,
my back has to be scratched.
Well, you just said,
and rubbed. Like,
you just said your mom did that to you as a
did.
Kid. And that probably fed, no, that probably fed that.
She
you
did.
Know what I'm saying? Having that as a consistent thing of comfort, that probably has fed that for you as an adult. So
she
I can
did.
See it.
She did. She
I can see it.
She would be so kind. I know she didn't want to, but I would be like, my back itching and it's. Whatever.
Acting all
yeah,
like
acting all babyish.
Oh my God, Mom. I need it.
And then like gifts, like I like to give gifts
uh-huh.
and, you know, receive them.
Okay.
And I feel like how I give gifts, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when people I just feel like it's the mirror coming back to me
okay.
when I'm given a gift.
Right. Okay.
The acts of service, I feel like I can do things on my own. I don't really need, like, stuff done for me.
Right.
Unless, like, I ask.
Okay.
Like the whole, like, washing the car, like, that would be great, like, if a guy did that.
Right.
If I, you know what I'm saying? Like acts of service is...
Okay.
It's not something I...
You got me over here rethinking mine. This is interesting. I'm rethinking mine. And then I want to hear you out.
Yeah, words of affirmation is kind of last because I...
Words ain't your thing.
They're really not.
But that makes sense, though, because movement is your thing.
Yeah.
And
the
like,
doing and the yeah, action so, and the goal.
So it makes sense. It makes yeah. sense for who you are and yeah. your gifts and how you just communicate, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. without words. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, man. That's like, that's taking me out. You know what I'm saying? But it makes so much, like, for you, I feel like I'm sitting here and so now you got me kind of, like, rethinking mine mm-hmm. Because... All of those things make sense. Like you said, quality time. You can't, I guess you could talk to me on the phone, but even when you're talking to me on the phone, you're spending time with me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I can see how quality time would make itself to the top. Words of affirmation is at my top. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that is a big ass deal to me.
And is it because anyway, you're a word person?
But that's what I'm saying. I think that just goes to show how different we all are. You know what I mean? And what feeds us and what fills up our cup. You know what I'm saying? Because there's no right or wrong answer here. Mm-hmm. You know, what you need is yours. Mm-hmm. And what I need is mine. And mm-hmm. the components that make us up is what makes us up. Mm-hmm. So it still makes a lot of sense. But so now, shit, I feel like I got to, like, think. I feel like I got to think through what mine's are. I know words is mine. So uh-huh. Retta said, hey.
Hey, Retta.
Hopefully you feeling better and getting yourself together. I know you said you was down there. Drew, I hope you got you some water or something that... Maybe some Calvary. Did you call somebody in to help right. you out or which something?
We need to know. I know the deets.
Those allergic reactions ain't no joke. No, I just kind of had one. We went to the Walrus and Oyster House or whatever the fuck that shit is over there in National Harbor. Mm-hmm. So we went to the Black Hair Experience joint, mm-hmm. which was cool. Shout out to the Black Hair Experience this down there in the National Harbor. We went there and then we went and grabbed something to eat. So I tried mussels for the first time. Was a little bit concerned about that. Hey, Beth. Thanks for tuning in. I was kind of reserved about mm-hmm. tasting that because it was my first time. Mm-hmm. But no response to it, so it was cool. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, I was eating the potatoes, and my throat started itching. And it was just like, so I don't know if it was something that they put on it, mm-hmm. seasoning of some sort mm-hmm. that they used on it, or what. But so I told her I'm going to try mussels again. Obviously, not with the potatoes. I'll try mm-hmm. them somewhere else mm-hmm. so that I can make sure that it wasn't the mussels and it was delayed.
Right.
But as soon as I ate the potatoes, my throat started itching. And as I continued to eat them, so I don't know if it was like pepper or something else mm-hmm. in it that just could have mm-hmm. like sparked that mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. Like my lips didn't start, you know, normally right. when my throat started itching, my lips start itching, everything is just. So that all didn't happen, but it was still weird. So the allergic reaction tried to take us out today. Retta said she got a Coke and chips and called her daughter. So
good.
Shout
good.
Out to daughter for being there for your mother and the Coke products. Always yes. come through with the Coke products. getting back to it. So I know words of affirmation is my first one. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's a lot about what I have heard. You know what I mean? And one way or the other, I know how much that stuck with me. I know how the things that have been said to me, that were deeply cutting and negative. I know how much that took away from me. Mm-hmm. And when someone says something to me that edifies me and fills me up, I know how much that adds. Mm-hmm. So I know that's my thing. And, you know, for me, the way I communicate a lot of times is through words. And I use a lot of them. I'm very wordy and chatty. Like, I could just go on and on and on. That's my thing. So that's the first one that kind of fills me up. My second one is actually quality time, though. So it's right up there. Mm-hmm. But I didn't, before sitting and listening to you, I didn't really think about how words and speaking and having that time is time. But when I think of words, I don't necessarily think in the speaking of out your mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, you could write a letter, or you could give a card, or you could send a note. It could mm-hmm. be a text. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, in that way, mm-hmm. I'm not spending time with a person, but they are still giving me time. So I feel like it could be a toss up.
Yeah.
So quality time is definitely my second. Mm-hmm. I would say that from there, I had them written out, but now, like I said, after you said it, I'm kind of just thinking about me more recently and what has been a thing. I feel like physical touch gets up on the list when you got touch. When touch is in your life, touch is important. When touch is not in your life, then, you know, it's not. I feel like we know how to compartmentalize it. So when you're not getting touched, touch easily makes it to the bottom because you're not doing it. Mm-hmm. So touch for me, I would have to say probably sitting in four. So my third one will probably be gifts is last for sure. I know gifts is number five for me. You don't ever have to give me anything. And could fill me up so many other ways. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I know gifts is five. I'm going to say one, words, two, quality time, three and four is a toss up between acts of service mm-hmm. and physical touch. And here's the thing. I feel like physical touch in a way is an act of service. Especially in a relationship, you know, mm-hmm. even what you said about your mom, that mm-hmm. rubbing of your back mm-hmm. and connecting skin to skin, person to person, that in itself is a thing. But I think that also touch in like more intimate relationships and stuff mm-hmm. like that, or even mm-hmm. just hugs, shit like that.
Yeah.
I feel like that is an act of service. You know what I mean? If you mm-hmm. see somebody is down and you say, come here, give me a hug. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. the hug itself is doing its thing, mm-hmm. but that thing is designed to elevate you somehow and, mm-hmm. and raise you up. It's mm-hmm. designed to serve you in a way.
Yeah.
So I feel like those two might be a little interchangeable mm-hmm. For mm-hmm. me, but I do know that gifts is at the bottom. And I don't know if it's because I've had such poor relationships with gifts in the past. Like here, you know, over the, you know, last few months and even the last few years, I've gotten some really beautiful gifts, which, kind of changed my mind about actually receiving gifts, but it hasn't changed my mind about needing them. You know what I mean? Like it has warmed me up and made me feel, you know, important to people and, you know, like on their mind. But I think that if I didn't get the gifts, I would not feel unloved mm-hmm. and I wouldn't feel like someone didn't think about me. You know what I mean? I would prefer to have you say something nice to me, spend some time with me, you know what I'm saying? Do something for me, to serve me rather than buy me things. So that's interesting, though. But it's interesting how ours kind of, like, mash up. They're almost completely the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. I know that that's driven by a person's experience. Yeah. You know, I, like, when I was a kid, I there was a time where I got gifts. All the gifts I got that particular year. Well, I wouldn't say year, but in that particular scenario, ended up being something was like wrong with it. They were mm-hmm. all like defected somehow, mm-hmm. so they all had to go back, and I can't really remember getting them back. And then, you know, I've had other times where people buy me gifts that they want me to have, but don't even align with who I am.
Right.
Like, no shots to my dad, but I got to tell y'all the story. It's some funny shit, man. So it was a Christmas. No, it was no lie. It was a Christmas. And by then, I was an adult. So wasn't a teenager. I was definitely an adult. And I think we were having Christmas at my aunt's house out in Maryland. And he came in there, and he had these bags and stuff. And, you know, everybody getting their gifts. Literally, I cried, dog. This is how upset I was about this gift. But so he brought it in, came in with these bags, and it was like these church suits, but they were skirts, but it was like Pentecostal down. It was like First Lady, I should have on a First
blazer,
Lady hat.
The blazer.
Yes, it was like with the pants, with the matching, skirt, with the long match. Yeah,
long
like,
skirt.
Where did you go? Where did you go? Where did you go? Who went with you? Who did you send? I feel like you might have sent someone.
Those.
And if you bought those, that's
church.
Wild. If you sent somebody, that's wild. Either way, it was like all wild. You know what I'm saying? But it's crazy because I've had many experiences like that. Like people buy me things that aren't me. They are, like I even got something. So I'm big on silver, you know what I mean? Or sterling silver or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not really the gold type. I got a couple mm-hmm. gold things, mm-hmm. but it's not really
your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone bought me something that I liked, you know, like the charm mm-hmm. was something that I would like, mm-hmm. but it was in gold. And maybe that's them saying, I think gold will look good on you or whatever, but
instead of knowing that you like silver.
Yeah, and maybe silver wasn't available. So in that case, well, I guess I would ask. Well, that's what I was about to ask. So if that were you and you were in that position, because we're talking about love language, we want to mm-hmm. fill people up, mm-hmm. going back to what we said about treat people the way they want to be treated versus treat people the way we want to be treated. So scenario for you, right? Mm-hmm. They go in a store and you like Tweety Bird, let's just say. Tweety Bird's mm-hmm. your shit. You collect mm-hmm. all the Tweety Bird shit. Mm-hmm. And they want to get you this thing for your birthday. Mm-hmm. But you like pink and they only got orange, and orange is not something you really wear. You've expressed that orange not really your thing, but it's so cute that I just want you to have it. Does a person buy you that in orange and just kind of explain that to you, or do you just have to go and find something else that's going on? What would you have rather had? Do you rather just have the gift so that you could say that a person was thinking of you, sort of, kind of, maybe? Or mm-hmm. do you want ungrateful? Am right. I being ungrateful because right. I got something that I wouldn't have picked for myself?
Yeah. So that had kind of happened for Christmas.
Okay.
My mom got me turtlenecks.
Turtlenecks, yes. Turtlenecks. The good old neck.
And joints. I know why she got them uh-huh. because I spend time outside with right. the kids. She's and trying it's for to make work. Sure you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I have hot flashes.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you got the neck fans. So turtlenecks and neck fans might be a thing.
No. Uh-uh. Not I just thing. Don't okay. like, you know, feeling like that. So right. I was like, thank you. I said, but Mom, you know I be having these hot flashes.
Right.
And I was like, it's my favorite color green. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But I think I need something that is lower in the right. neck.
Yeah.
She took it back mm-hmm. and bought me a green sweater right. that was lower right. in the neck.
How do you think that made her feel?
I don't know. Okay. I wasn't like rude about it.
Right.
But I think she was trying to get me something in my favorite color.
Okay.
That was what right. I think
that was the driving force.
That was the driving okay. force. And then being in a turtleneck, I spent a lot of time outside with right. the kids in the
so
winter.
So she's actually trying to serve you even in that, thinking right. about how, because you also layer a lot. And maybe she was thinking about that, like hot flash and stuff like that. The girl layers. Maybe if I just get her this, she won't have to layer. She could just right. wear this and be out there. So I could see where her, you know, where her thinking process might have mm-hmm. been at.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I feel like that was easy fix, though. You were able to communicate to her.
Right.
And get what you needed out the deal. You saw her intention. Mm-hmm. You know, but sometimes you can't do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes shit comes in the mail.
Right.
Sometimes, you're not right. right there with the person where you can make those decisions. I guess the biggest thing is that, do you want people to know you enough when they're buying you gifts to decide?
I think they should. I think they should know you enough. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. The gift giving should be an extension of me knowing you
right.
and knowing what you like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you give great gifts. You actually give super
thank
duper
you.
Great. No, you do. Like, for real. I was just talking about the pencils that you had given me, you know, that mm-hmm. one time. But everything you give me, even if it's not necessarily me, like you gave me those socks. What was those? Nefertiti socks? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but I love socks, though. You know what I'm saying? And, mm-hmm. you know, we all about our
queens.
Yeah. You know? So, right. So, no, right. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So, everything that you give me is it, like, I feel like I've had people want to journal me down mm-hmm. and, you know, stuff like that. It's like, okay, you write, so keep writing.
Let me give you this journal. How many journals can I have?
I have had to re-gift several journals
uh-huh.
because I haven't even been able to get through
the journals
that you already gave me. And now with technology and being able to do so many things
in
your phone.
Computers,
yeah, I have like this note joint in my phone where I barely write anything. Like, mm-hmm. I sometimes I tell myself I have to write just because mm-hmm. I don't want to get to a point one day where I can't.
Right.
I'm very worried about the day when if technology just whatever it does, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And in order for me to communicate, I got to use my fingers and write. Mm-hmm. I don't want to feel like I'm about to be cramped up right. trying to write things because right. I don't write enough. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
So actually I'm very intentional about trying to do that, but I don't write enough to have, you know, 4 and 5 journals to do it. But I feel like people see me as a writer and it's like, boom, you
let
know,
me get
write
that.
Some.
That's an easy,
yeah.
that's an easy.
But I'm telling you, you done got me with cards. You didn't got me with socks. You got me stuff around writing. So it's like you have our books. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You take note of all of the aspects of me, and you hit them all. You're not like just driving down this one lane and just overdoing. That's like somebody constantly buying you some dance clothes. Like, yeah, every time they buy you something, it's dance related. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I feel like part of that says that they have pigeonholed you, yeah, into a box, or that's all they see you as. And I don't think that people realize what that does to the inside of the person who's receiving the gifts. Mm-hmm. When naturally you want to be grateful anytime somebody gives you, and I be trying to check myself, like, you're not, you know, being ungrateful or, you know, whatever it is. I had those kind of conversations with, even when I hear myself say certain things,
yeah,
I'm like, wait, you know, did that sound, mm-hmm, you know, like it was in alignment, right, with what I really feel, or,
right,
you know, is that hurtful or harmful in what, mm-hmm, I'm saying? But I have had to sit with some of these things, like, no, mm-hmm, like, I don't,
yeah,
I didn't want that.
Yeah, I don't give gifts to people if I don't know them.
Right.
Or if I'm not, like, friend, like I don't know how to do it to, like, I don't know how to give gifts, yeah, like, to people
those little,
I don't know.
Those are, like, Secret Santa joints where you exchanging gifts with people you don't, those, that is the hardest thing for me to do, to, yeah, connect with going in a store, mm-hmm, and finding something for a person that does not, in theory, exist.
So, you know, when that happens, I get what I would want for myself. That's the only time that I feel like, okay, the Secret Santa, you can't go over $20. Well, I get something
that you would, that want, I would, and that's want, what you would give
and
away.
And that's what I would give away.
Oh, that's a pretty good strategy. Unless you in one of those joints where they actually put the 1, 2, 3 points or whatever, right, of what it is that they like.
Right.
And then in that way, it's kind of guided. But I feel like people do that, mm-hmm, so that people get what they want. I, yeah, feel like if you're given a gift, shouldn't it be what you like?
Yeah.
Or what you want? Should you be involved, mm-hmm, somehow in the decision making? Mm-hmm. Not in, like, we actually had a conversation. Yana said they suck. Not in the fact that they have a conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a conversation around it, but the consideration, yeah, of who you are and, right, what it is that you like and stuff like that. So should make all the difference.
Yeah. So I was speaking of, like, the white elephant, when, mm-hmm, you don't know nothing.
Right, at all.
And but
yeah. So in that case, I like it. The strategy, yeah, is buy yourself something so that, you know, worst case scenario.
If your gift is not picked, then you get your own gift.
You like it. Good strategy. Look at you, Sean. You've done this a lot, haven't you?
Yes.
You've been around this block a couple times.
You've
been around this block a couple times. Now, in that, we getting off on gifts and not really digging into all of them, but just one last question around the gifts. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have many gifts, mm-hmm, to be able to, you know, open and, you know, experience multiple things, or would you rather just have one thing that just was perfectly aligned to you, or would you rather have a lot of things to feel like you got options?
So I don't know, like, I mean, one gift could be just the best.
Right.
You know, and then all these other little gifts could be just the best, mm-hmm, right, too. So it's not quantity over quantity.
Right,
I was just about
thing
to say, it's really not quantity, like how many I get, uh-huh, or how many I get to open. If it's just that one that
it was just the right fit.
Yeah. And then sometimes the little ones lead up to something
grand.
Like,
yeah,
you know, sometimes the little gifts are part of the story to another gift. Like, I just like when people are very creative with,
right,
you know, their gift giving. Yeah. Because, yeah, I try to do that.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah.
Dope.
So I really don't have a preference, one or many. I mean, they're all equal to me. Like, it's a gift.
You just like gifts. Just give me the gifts. It's the gifts for me. But yeah, that's really at the bottom of my list. I'm gonna try to sit and, I mean, other than what I just said, I mean, I could probably run off of 5 or 6 more examples, mm-hmm, of how I've always been on the giving side of gift giving. You know what I mean? always buying something for somebody. Mm-hmm. Even when I was younger, you know what I mean? I would get my allowance and half my allowance would be gone because mm-hmm. I've then bought everybody something from it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I've never, like I said, I've never really been on the other side of it. Even like being a kid and Christmas time and stuff like that, I'm not saying that I never got what I wanted. That's mm-hmm. that's not what I'm saying. I just think the overall experience that I've had around receiving gifts mm-hmm. has not been a cup filler for me. You know what I mean? I lose a lot of shit. So I know who, like, people buy me earrings, they be in the trash. You gonna buy me some earrings, go to the beauty supply store. They will be out the window. They done fell off. I done took off a shirt.
Go to Crystals and get the earrings.
Hello, please. Just get me a whole bunch of them joints just so that I can just.
The whole pack that just got a hole.
Just don't give me the little dot joints, you know, like the little ball. Don't give me like the ones that's colorful. Don't give me those, you know what I'm saying? But give me packs. Because I know me, God. You know what I'm saying? But that, again, to me, I feel like that goes back to the fact that I'm not emotionally connected to things in that way. So mm-hmm. something can be here and then it can be gone. Now, that I feel like happened to me, like, as I was growing up. Mm-hmm. I remember I had this bike that my grandfather had bought me. It was my first bike mm-hmm. that I could remember. Now, I could have had a little trike bike, you know, when I was smaller. But, mm-hmm. like, the first real bike, it was this purple and white bike. Had a banana seat on it. And that bike sat in my yard. After I stopped riding that bike and had other bikes, that bike, especially after my grandfather died, that bike sat in the yard up against the gate and was just there. And then one day, I was coming home and I noticed that, I think I even went in the house and then came back out and realized, like, my seat was missing. So somebody came in the yard, stole the seat off my bike. I think I cried literally for like, I'm gonna call it a week at least, and I feel like that's short, but I'm gonna call it a week, like every day. And like, I'm literally on the phone with my grandmother and she is trying to talk me mm-hmm. like off the ledge about yeah. this thing yeah. and I felt so connected to it and to him in that way, to the point where I bought the bike in the house. So now I have a bike, no a rusty seat. Bike that I with no seat that I can't use now in my room. I have like kind of, and that's funny that I'm saying that now, because that's probably the first shrine that I ever made in my room, not even knowing mm-hmm. that I was building that mm-hmm. Around him. But I brought it into my room because I wanted to protect it. But I think that taught me, in that experience, looking at that every day, it taught me that I cannot have emotional attachments to things, because if I do in that way, it could hurt me. You know what I'm saying? Like, pain of any sorts, physical or otherwise, mm-hmm. is something that I do not handle well. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And going through that experience, I think that took something from, like, I remember it distinctly, sitting mm-hmm. in that room. Mm-hmm. I had this bunk bed in my room. So my room is small. So mm-hmm. let's start off with that. Room is super duper small. And now I got this dirty ass bike in my room because I don't want the handlebars to be gone next. Yeah. Or the brakes or the wheel. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But yeah. the devastation that I felt around losing that seat, I was traumatized by it. And I think from that, I just learned that things come and go, and like, I could have something and not have it. That was my defense mechanism around feeling towards gifts. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until recently that I got a gift that I lost recently that it took me back to how I felt about that, which let me know how important the person was that gave me that gift and how I felt around that. Because from that moment up until this moment, things in the middle, I have tried not to have an emotional attachment to. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why I say, like, you if you're gonna give me something expensive, you probably better keep it at your house. I better wear it when I'm with you. Right, you know? Right, so you right. can protect it right. and make sure it's good. Because for me, it's just a thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't prioritize things like that. So yeah, give me and gifts not good, but words, quality time. I think quality time is a big one. And I think when we were here with Retta talking about what our families were like, and even, you know, well, all of our families are the same, but mm-hmm. having that time where you just there. I remember when I used to ride by and y'all all sitting on the porch, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Either at the, you know, at y'all old house or at Merce house, or, you know, just being out, even when just being in our neighborhood in general, like you would ride around that neighborhood. And the people that you know, are from here. You know what I'm saying? Like outside and everybody's just chilling and, you know, and I think that that was a really big one for me. So I think that that's why that ended up being my number two. Because I remember even living on Lincoln Street. Like, I felt like even though Unsandra and Brenda and them lived across the street, it was almost like we all lived in the same house. We just went in different doors to sleep. But when we came out, you know, everybody's on the stoop. We all out here. You know what I'm saying? And, like, that's a big... People get off work just to do this. You can't wait to come home to sit on this stoop, talk to the same people that you talk to every day about the same shit. You know what I'm saying? Got the same routine all the time, but it was that time playing cards, laughing, eating, just chilling. Like, I remember when, you know, back in the day, in y'all Images days, like, me, Nick, and Yana, it was like a ritual. Nick get off work, me and Yana working at the camp, everybody get off work, go across the bridge, get food, go buy clothes, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it was, and then come back. And we literally did that every single day to the point where I feel like even when we stopped doing that, everybody's traumatized because that time was like a big-ass deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't realize just how much you are vested in something until you don't have it to be vested in. So I think quality time, especially in our family, I feel maybe because the family's so big.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's like that with people that have smaller families or their families are more, you know, dispersed and separate. But I feel like quality time probably is at the top. I'm like now, again, like in having this conversation, I'm kind of battling the fence with with quality time and words. Because if I don't feel like I've experienced, like in my upbringing, I don't feel like I experienced many words. You know what I mean? I think the words were inside of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I started to experience the words as I was getting older, and I experienced them more from people outside of my family versus inside of the family. But the quality time thing, I feel like that's been since birth. Like, that's just been a thing to be, even when I used to hang out with Michelle when I was younger. Like, all I look forward to going to school all week. And then the weekend, I'm going to Aunt Darlene's house or I'm going to grandma or wherever it is just to have that time, you know, that cousin time and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's really in playing it all back and rewinding the tapes. I do think the quality, I mean, quality time is my number two now. But I think I could probably raise it up to one if I really sat in it long. I think because words is my thing, I feel like words. At the, and, and like I said, I just know how I feel when I hear the words. Like, I'll never forget when... when you asked me to do the show for your birthday or whatever, and hearing you like say certain things and knowing my stuff and like, well, why you can't do it? And it's just, but it was just that having someone saying to you, like that encouragement and that, you know, this means something to me, like communicating that with your actual words, it just did something. And look what it did. It turned into The Kid Speaks. It turned into this. You know what I'm saying? Like, all those many years ago, that just added value and value. I can't think of many things that have birthed as much in my life as when I am being filled up by the words. And that's why I still count mine as a top. But it's interesting that everybody has something different. For the people that's watching, man, what's your love languages? Put them in order. Let us know what yours are. So I posed this question, which is different. Yana said that's what she misses the most, cousin time. Yeah, for real. Like, we had rituals we didn't even know we had.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's amazing when you think back at it and the things that you've done over time and the way you've done them, how you became certain things and the ways that you have... been built, your foundations and fundamentals and stuff like that. Like, we really had rituals we didn't even know that we were, that would be called rituals.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But that was a thing that we did.
Yeah, like yesterday I went to this little girl's birthday party. And the party was at our old house. So, you know, I'm friends with, you know, the couple that
lives
purchased
there
right that lives there now. That was my first time going back to that house
since
we moved
out.
How was that?
Let's talk about it.
So, going up the driveway, I was like, "Oh my God, I ain't been here since 5-6 years ago since we moved out."
Yeah, ain't that crazy? It's been that long.
It's been that long. So I was in the back for a little bit, and I was like, oh, this is so nice. Mm-hmm. And Amanda was like, come in so you can see what we did. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Soon as I walked in through the kitchen, mm-hmm. my eyes mm-hmm. started to mm-hmm. well up.
Yeah, I bet.
And it wasn't like a sad cry. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, I was raised in this house.
Yeah.
And look at all of the changes. Mm-hmm. And like, I was walking through there. I was like, oh my God, this was my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And like it was just like, I went in there thinking, ain't nobody, I ain't gonna be crying. Like, right. I'm meaning uh-huh. like, oh y'all, this joint yes. looks good.
Yes.
And
you had your yes fingers up.
I
ready
did
to go.
Have my yes fingers up, but then after I walked around the tear, I was done.
He was done.
I was like just walking through saying this is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but I didn't know that I would respond that way.
Yeah, how important the house was to you.
Well, I knew.
Well,
how
no,
important,
I mean, like,
but
of
I didn't
course,
know.
But I think that you know even more so now.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
you've done that.
Right.
I think the house will always be important mm-hmm, to you. But mm-hmm. I think that having been removed from it, I think that, and then going back into mm-hmm. it, I think it really showed just how much on the inside of you.
Yeah.
That I think that when you're in some, change is hard for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you have ownership over things when you have them for a long period of time and stuff like that. But I think that there's a piece of you on the inside of you that's mm-hmm. attached to all of these things that you don't really know mm-hmm. is there. And I think that's probably what you're experiencing while yeah. you're walking through a house where your whole life has gone before you in yeah. this place.
Yeah.
And even with all the changes and all of that, you still have an emotional attachment mm-hmm. to this place. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. wow.
Yeah, it was
deep.
It was deep.
Some deep shit. It probably deep. Heavy. Exhausting, too.
A little bit.
Probably was exhausting.
Yeah, it was. And as she was giving me the tour, her eyes was looking like she was about to
right.
cry too.
Cause yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm so sorry. Right. I didn't mean to be crying, but like you
yeah,
guys
it's one
have,
of the things.
You know, like this is a beautiful home that you right. guys have created for yourselves and family.
Right.
And I was like, this house
right.
made me, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Lots
sometimes
of
I'd be wanting to go to 309 Hume Avenue where my grandmother used to live mm-hmm. and see if they would let me walk inside it, mm-hmm. but I almost know that I would respond poorly after experiencing mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. I kind of already know
yeah.
what that would be like for me. I think I would have a, because that goes back to the attachment I have to my grandfather, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So anything that's associated with him already just like, you know, throws me off.
Right.
But I think that seeing it different mm-hmm. would mess me up. Seeing it the same mm-hmm. would mess me up. Then I get, you know, into all my feelings around how we get here. Mm-hmm. And then I go down a rabbit hole. So
yeah.
I want to do it, but then I don't. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? For that reason. But yeah. I can just imagine what that was like.
I mean, and I was like there for hours.
Right.
Like the little girl's party started at 11:30. I was there from 11:30 to like 8 p.m. sitting on the porch, sitting
right.
in the backyard. Like, oh my God. Like, I'm legit sitting on 1936 off Gilmore Street on the porch, you know, where
right.
I used to sit all the time.
Right.
It was just, it was great.
Good.
It was great.
I'm glad. I'm glad
great.
You had that though. You might have needed it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's catch up with some stuff
okay.
that Retta said. So Retta said, I think this world is so busy now. Everyone is busy. People's intentions and gift giving is not the same. Picking up the first thing they see just because they're rushing and they got to grab a gift in some mm-hmm. way. So that might be some of it, you know. And, mm-hmm. and I can imagine, you know, you get down, boggled down with time, especially if gifts ain't your thing. If you are just fulfilling an order,
then
you know
it's
what I'm fulfilling the order, then you're gonna do
you're
that.
Just gonna pick up
because,
oh, this
yeah,
$12, let me get
absolutely. She also said, not considering the likes and dislikes of the person, I like to be thoughtful and find something that people won't throw in the corner. It will have some type of meaning. And then she said, quality time and words is hers. She said she had to learn how to speak the words to herself, not having received that as a youth. She recognized that it was actually that she was actually longing for it, and so she gave it to herself with words. And mm-hmm. if you ask most of the Bellamy cousins, they still go sit on Langley to this day, where the house was.
Oh, okay.
And both Retta and Yana both said wow kind of to your to the story around the house or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but those are big deals, man. And that mm-hmm. That also goes back and speaks to legacy, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the differences that the choices that our family makes and brings it, which kind of brought us in a way to this show. Because, mm-hmm. like, when you think about it, you know, I was just talking earlier about my father's family and how I want to go to, you know, where they're from. And, you know, really, like, I met some of them for his wedding a couple mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know them like that. Y'all know where they're from. I ain't never really been on the land, mm-hmm. you know, to right. really see who they are as a people, where they are from, in their element. But, like, thinking back, I don't feel like, and maybe we do and I'm just missing it, mm-hmm. But I don't feel like we have any family property that is, like, and I'm not talking about each person's, like, individual house. That's not
yeah.
what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, like, some stowed away, we kept this, mm-hmm. that is mm-hmm. ours, that belongs in somebody's country somewhere, that is just, like, a family property that we can even stake claim to somehow. Mm-hmm. I feel like in the legacy department, as it relates to that, I feel like that is not an experience that I have today. You know what I mean? I think that I salute people that do have that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That have found a way to hold on to those type of things, because I think that that means a lot in you know, being able to invest into generations to come for them to mm-hmm. see where you come from. You know, when you can go back to a place that, you know, your great-great-greats purchased their own piece of land and this was bought themselves out of slavery type. Mm-hmm. There's a certain pride and shit that comes mm-hmm. with having something like that that you yeah. can still touch
yeah.
And feel. I feel like, honestly, I can't, even thinking back to what kind of sparked the conversation last week and watching that in our mother's gardens, like, I can't even go back past my great grandmother. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my great grandmother's mother's name is, mm-hmm. and I don't know what the name after that was. I go to my grandma Blanche, her mother Janie. Aside from that, I don't mm-hmm. know mm-hmm. unless there's another Blanche or a Hattie or something, you know.
Right.
And I'm only thinking that because of the names that I got. Retta might know something right. like that, because mm-hmm. I know Aunt Hattie is, like, big on her lineage and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So mm-hmm. they may actually know that kind of stuff, but I don't. I can't go that far back. So I don't know, you know, where these people actually really came from and what they had to do to get us here mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And that kind of bothers me a little mm-hmm. bit mm-hmm. Because I think it is important to know where you come from. I feel like that helps to, you know, give you direction,
yeah.
you know, for where you go and where stuff like heading. That. And I want to learn more about my ancestors and what, you know, what it took for them to give me the life that I have. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What they had to do in order to live and survive and thrive in order to give us this life that we have, and not knowing that. Like you said, you didn't even get to meet your grandmother, so there is a space removed there just because you didn't even have that experience. Mm-hmm. You may know somewhat about her, but just even not being able to meet her mm-hmm. already kind of removes some of that. So if you didn't get to meet her, you didn't get to meet her mama. You know right, what I'm saying? Right, for sure. Right. So you go back as far as your mom. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, other than, you know, going into, this, you know, the father side
right.
of the family or her siblings, you know,
yeah.
stuff like that. But you can't even go that far. And so, like, where do we go to find who's left that got this to give it to us, so that we can now build something out of it and make something of it as we go? Or is that so far lost mm-hmm. now that we can't
get it back?
We can't access that and now have to be that, mm-hmm. or is it both? Mm-hmm. Do we have to accept? Is it there for us to get and build on? Is it not there, and so it got to be us? Or is it there for us to build on and it has to be us? You know what I'm saying? But which one of those positions are we in? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sitting right here so we know where we're going and what we're supposed to give mm-hmm. the people that are supposed to come after us. Because really, when I think of my family, sadly, mm-hmm. I feel like when I be watching shows and stuff and they talking about, you know, I'm fourth and fifth generation this, and our whole family went to this school, and all of my, you know, my grandfather and my great-grandfather and his great-grandfather and all that, they all did this thing, you know what I'm saying? So I'm the fifth person to do this thing. I be looking like,
how does that feel?
Yeah, like and I be sad. I like genuinely be sad, like, yeah. I don't got that.
That ain't me.
Yeah, why y'all ain't do that? Why y'all ain't do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's wrong with y'all? Why y'all ain't give us that?
They give us nothing.
Yeah, y'all gave us cards, drinking, you know what I'm saying? And sitting on the stoop. Nah, I feel bad. They gave us more than that.
I know, we playing. They gave us more. We just say the stoop was the big deal.
Yeah, but it's, the stoop was the big deal. I feel like over the years, that was, even like in the days of, you know, going back to what I said about Yana, because she on there and she mentioned it about the rituals and the cousin time. Sitting on Yana's, it was like the porch was the thing. Mm-hmm. No matter what porch it was, mm-hmm. where we were from,
the porch was the thing. Yeah, I could sit on my porch and see from my porch,
right, out there smoking her cigarette, her Pall Malls.
Okay,
every day
sitting there, I could look down there, and there was Icky.
And even when we used to be on the porch, and y'all used to be on the porch, we could like talk. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. It was just a thing. But I feel like that. I feel like that was back when we had family on every single street. Mm-hmm. Every turn, we had some family somewhere going down to Porky and them. They'd be down there, you know, going down to 20. I just feel like that was different times.
Yeah, I know for us, Fridays was the biggest day.
Yeah.
We would be at Linda's on a porch, sitting, wondering what we was going to eat.
Yep.
The grown-ups got the broiler.
Right.
And we got McDonald's Happy Meals. And we would be so mad. We used to say, I can't wait till we get our own
so
money.
I can go to
so we can get
steak and cheese from the broiler, get a pizza.
Yes.
Petty pressed.
They giving us hamburger Happy Meals.
Yeah.
And they ordering Chinese food.
All the good shit.
They ordering
all the good shit.
Broiler.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
we looking
I think
like,
that's why now when I be dealing with kids, I let them decide. That's a big thing to me. Like knowing what kids want and letting them be a part. Like, especially Gary, you know Gary. So taking him places and being out with him and letting him pick what he's going to eat and stuff like that. And you don't even got to pick it off the kids' menu. You just got to be able to say what it is. You got to be committed to eat what it is. And if you could do that, then you can enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? That was one of the things I feel like when I look back, I think that's one of the things that blew me a lot. You know what I'm saying? Just
like,
there's a lot of ways that I feel like a kid got to stay in a kid place. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like around stuff like that, I don't feel like that's really a thing to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, no, kids shouldn't be in adult conversations, but I feel like adults shouldn't have adult conversations around kids.
Children.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? If you don't want the kids to be in a conversation, then you probably should not have the conversation.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's where as adults we can control that. But I feel like, you know, having certain kind of taste and stuff like that, I feel like in a certain experience and being exposed to certain things, I feel like that be our job. That's why kids get older, and the first time somebody buy them a lobster or a steak dinner, they feel like they in love and they feel like they being kept or taken care of, because that's not what they got when they were kids. You know what I'm saying? So that's one of the big things that I don't believe in. I believe in can you spill crab cake? Can you read crab cake? Are you going to eat this? And if you don't eat it all, are you going to eat it later? Mm-hmm. You know, and if the answer is yes to all of them questions, then sure, you can order that.
Yeah.
And it's nothing. I'm not hot dogging you to death and mac
chicken,
and cheesing you.
And
yeah,
chicken
like
nuggets.
I'm not doing, I'm not chicken nuggeting you and hot dogging and mac and cheesing you to death. That's just not something I'm going to do.
Yes, we were happy.
But that goes back to what we were talking about filling people up where they are. Even that as a child, like, kids know what they like. Kids know what their preferences are. Giving them an opportunity to say what that is instead of shrinking them down to what we feel like their experience should be. Mm-hmm. Because then, to your point, you get to a certain age and you like, I can't wait till I'm old enough so I could do X, Y, Z because I felt like I wasn't able to do it. Mm-hmm. Something so small.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But what that does is you end up becoming a certain age and then you end up spending your money frivolously. Because now you just want to blow it on things that you've been waiting to blow it on because you didn't have those experiences and you've been longing for them versus, you know, actually having that as an experience that you shared with adults that showed you how, you know what I'm saying? You're not eating this shit every day. You know what I'm saying? You can't, but when you get older, you be thinking you can do like, that.
When we get a job.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
I mean, I worked time. Like,
whole time.
I had to be like at least six or seven.
Yeah.
Because Nina remembers it.
Uh-huh.
And we laugh about it.
She was actually on
it.
Nina joined not too long ago.
We'd be laughing about it because we used to be like, she said, she was in Maine once saying she couldn't wait to get her own money so that when she came down here, she could get her own food.
Yeah, when y'all order next time, I'll have my own money.
I have a job. I have a job. Can't wait till I get a job.
Right.
She probably was like, what? She just turned 50.
Why are you selling her age on here? I see how you know everybody wants you want everybody
50
now.
Is she 50?
Are you 50, Nina? You out there. You 50.
I'm just trying to, like.
I got you.
Like,
and
try to figure out.
Stack y'all.
Yeah.
Who's who.
Because I know she was the main one saying that she couldn't wait till she had her own job to get her own money.
Right.
To eat. At the broiler.
And now she can eat at the broiler whenever she wants.
And now we don't even hardly eat.
Shout out to the family, the things they taught us, and the legacy we got from them. So I had another question that I wanted to pose, and I was hoping that Retta was here, so she's not. So, but I'm gonna pose it now to give you some time to think about it, give the audience some time to think about it, Retta too. So I asked the question earlier. I don't know why I was. Well, I do know I was thinking about it, but I don't know why I was thinking about it at the moment that I posed the question. And so the question is, wait, before I ask that, Retta said in what we were saying, Retta said. Yeah, that's always something I think about. There's a small piece of Deucin-owned land left in Culpeper. They sold a lot of it. Yes, I'm doing research now. She said that she's trying to confirm our Cherokee ancestry. We are the ones that have to find it and pass it on. She's answering that question. They were trying to stay alive and eat in some shared little nuggets. If you didn't catch it on the porch from, you know, your great-grandparents or whatever, then you missed the moment. That was your time to get it from them when they were around. And then she said, facts, TK, these children watch everything that we do. The kids mimicking adults is cute when they little, but then when they get buck and talk back as teens and young adults, we are ready to knock them out. Right, and a lot of times that happens. Mm-hmm. You know, kids out here doing, you know, little
grown
things that
stuff.
You doing grown up stuff and everybody's kikiing. And
funny.
Then right until that kid is as tall as you and as big as you and they using your same tone back at you, and then it's like, now wait a minute, I brought you into this world, I take you out. All of a sudden you a killer. You know what I'm saying? That's how it goes down. Because you do it all the time with your kids in school. Like when you be telling me about the stories from the kids and the kids are like, you know, now are we doing, you know, they doing it in your same tone. You know, they using your same verbiage and everything because they picking that up. Same inflections, everything. They are taking it as sponges, and we know that that's what kids do. So we just got to be mindful of how we treat them. But back to the question. So the question that I posed is faith fear-based? Do you feel like acting in faith is or can be fear-based? And you don't got an answer today. I want you to kind of think about it. And I say that because in a lot of ways, I feel like we are taught that faith and fear are independent of each other. Mm-hmm. So in order to act in faith, fear must not exist. If you are acting in fear, then faith does not exist. And they're two independent things. But I like to kind of discuss it and see if those two things come together to make one thing. Do both of those things rely on one another in order for them to, do they have to coexist for you to be operating in either of them fully? You know what I'm saying? One way or the other. Or at least going into the faith direction. I'm not really sure how it would shake out from the fear side. But in the faith side, like, does fear in some way drive your intentions and administration and around faith? So that was just something that came up to me in thinking about some of the things that's happened over the last couple of weeks. And I just like to kind of have some faith kind of conversation. So to all the people in the audience that's listening, you take that question with you. And when we come back next week, I'm not sure if we're going to be here next week. Next week is a holiday weekend. So we might actually run an old show in place on the site. in place of a new show, and then get started back the following week. That'll kind of be determined this week. But tune in on at 5 p.m. Next Sunday anyway online, because there will be a show there, but there may not be one on live. But Retta said that's a great question. So at least to you, Retta, Yana, and our audience, you know, kind of take that question home with you and think about it a little bit. As you are applying one or the other, you know, see, when you are being faithful, is there fear?
Was it because fear that drove
that? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like what is driving that?
When you're scared about something, you're like, okay, I gotta get this together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wonder if that's, you know, how those two things come together. Because like I said, most times when we hear about them, it sounds so independent of one another and adverse. And do they actually come together to tell the story? I think that'll be an interesting conversation to have. But other than that, I mean, that's all we got today. I feel like we just kind of chatted it up. The Riot, like, Team Riot is in the building, you know. Again, Riot. Looks like Retta's feeling better. She's definitely communicating with us. So shout out to Retta getting it together. And that was almost like a bar. And then Yana been in here talking and chatting with us too. So it felt good to have us all around. So everybody that's been out there listening and watching, thank you. We appreciate you. Continue to watch us and tune in. And we're going to end with our affirmation as we always do. So Ebony, with your very soothing and calming voice, take us out.
I need to have this, what do you say? Cool, smooth.
Smooth.
Smooth and calming voice.
Smooth and calming voice.
For the rest of the school year.
Yes, let's do it.
I got 2 weeks Retta left.
Retta said good show today.
Thanks, Retta. We glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, absolutely. Retta, glad you're feeling better. Bars. I don't know. I don't know why I like saying bars like
better.
That.
It's a Retta, thing. Etta.
Hey, I ain't fucking with you, man. Get us out of here so we can get Z out of here.
We're right.
We are right. Let's go.
I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind. I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts. Communion is where I come to unite with those around me. I am grounded and present in this experience. I am here and I am whole.
We are here and we are whole. All right, that's us.
Peace.
Peace.